Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
From the Fifth Quarter Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, you're listening to Coach Unplugged. And now, your host, Steve Collins.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Coach Unplugged. So excited you decided to join us. Before we jump in, a couple things. First of all, we'd love if you'd leave a five-star review. Those reviews are really big to us. Also, go over and check out our sponsors, Dr. Dish, the number one shooting machine in the market. So easy to set up, easy to use, will make your team, you know, will make your team better shooters. I can guarantee that. And not necessarily scorers, but the great thing is they've dealt with that problem. And now you have trainers there. You have things on the Dr. Dish. It will actually help you become a better scorer. So go over and check it out. Mention Coach Unplugged. They'll give you $350 off. Also, go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. Right now, we got a quarterly membership. We're trying something new here. We think it's a great innovation for all of you. Maybe jump in for 3 months and kick the tires around. We believe in teachhoops.com so much that we have a 14-day free trial right now. No one else has that. Are you going to get their bat phone and be able to get on a call and help them through? So our roadmap is second to none, too. It will walk you through your basketball journey. So come over and check us out at teachhoops.com. Let's head off to the podcast.
The man, the myth, the legend. Coach, this is so cool because I've been listening to you. I'm on a road trip. I've been listening to you for about the last 3 hours driving from Spokane to Portland. And now here you are live and in the flesh from Madison.
I know. I mean, I've told you that Washington's one of the states I haven't stepped foot in, right?
You got to get out here, man. I should turn the camera around and show you the Columbia River Gorge, which I'm driving by right now.
And it's that and Alaska are the only two states I've not stepped foot in.
We got to get you out.
I know.
Coach.
We got to run a clinic. I know. I got to retire at some point so I can go start talking at clinics and stuff. But I know for sure.
I keep hearing you talking about that. Somebody signed up for a lifetime membership the other day. I was listening to a podcast. I never know. I just pull up the podcast, so I never know how current they are. But
yeah,
the guy was like, I think he was from California. And he was the guy who was all, the thing I took away from that podcast is I wish I coached in California, even though I'd hate to live there, because his thing he kept coming back to is we can practice whenever we want. Coach.
Oh, that was
we
James. Can practice, that was James.
That must have been James.
He's a doctor.
The doctor guy. Yeah.
And so I said, he lives in San Diego. Trust me. If I can go speak in San Diego, I'm going to San Diego before I go to Washington. I'm telling you, because San Diego is nice.
I feel you, Coach. I feel you. Hey, I can see you. You're on my little dash cam. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you perfect. That's all good. I know you're driving. It's not a worry. I'm just sitting in my office.
Perfect. Well, I'm going to pepper you with some questions,
man.
I don't know if you saw the other email I sent you. I set a record, man. I love your podcast so much. I'm going to write this somewhere on your website or YouTube or podcast, whatever, all the five-star reviews that you always want.
All right.
I listened to you for 9 hours driving home 2 weeks ago from Bend, Oregon to Spokane.
Okay. First of all, no one should have to do that. My wife would not do that.
Coach, I'm a fiend. I know. I'm a fiend. I just trying to learn, Coach. I'm telling you, listening to your podcast, being a part of Teach Hoops is changing me as a coach.
Oh, I appreciate that. I really do. I sometimes wonder if I'm making a difference, but I appreciate that. I know that I just got back from a long walk too, and I don't listen to my own podcast, but I do listen to podcasts. And it's funny. It's like there's nothing more intimate than a podcast. I'm telling you, there's something very unique about. It's like radio. It's like sitting around in the 40s and people would sit around the radio and listen to, you know, the Lone Ranger or something. There's something unique. And what I like about podcasts.
It's intimate. Yeah. I feel like I was just with you and
I can go fishing. Yeah. I love that. I can go fishing. Hour. Yeah. It's crazy. All right, go ahead. I'm ready, Coach. I got my notepad ready. I'm ready. Go ahead. No, there might be a delay.
Okay. And right. I hope and pray, Coach, I'm not getting into a bad signal area. If I do, maybe just a phone call. I don't know if you have the ability to call me on the phone.
Yeah, this is good. Let's give it a shot. And if it doesn't work, I'll call you.
Okay. We'll give it a shot. So one thing we talked about the first time we talked, end of game situations. You were coming out with kind of a Bible of end of game situations.
Yep.
You know, quick hitters at the end of the game to score that last basket. Do you have that yet?
I'm still working on it. It's kind of like my weight loss. No, it's close. It's close. It's close. It will be done. When does your season start?
We start November 15th. So I just want to start working on that.
Yep. I guarantee it'll be done by November 1. That's what I can guarantee you.
Sweet. And you'll put that on T-Tubes.
Yeah, I'll get it for you. I'll get it for you. I'll get it for you for sure. Cause I promised you.
Okay.
It. Yeah.
Okay. That's awesome. And then the next one, coach, is, and this is kind of a big question. I don't have a true point guard this year. So two questions about that. Well, three things, I guess. One thing is I'm going to make sure I'm working on ball handling. I know it's a bummer to have to work on ball handling in season. That's just something to me they should be doing on their own. But yep. I need to do it, I think. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yep.
I think I need to do it. The second thing is my best player is probably my best ball handler, but she's my kid that I need to have score 20 points a game. She's my best athlete. She's long, but I don't want to wear her out. Is it a bad idea to have her as my inbounder on a press just so we can get it back to her? Is that okay?
No, I think that's good. I mean, if you go on T-Troops sideline, I love the press break sideline. If you go on T-Troops and watch the press break thing, that's a great one.
Okay.
You'd have
sideline's
her throw it
a great
in.
One.
Yep. And you'd have her, you'd have her throw it in and then she'll get it back. It's perfect. You'll always be able to get her the ball.
Okay. That's what I was going to ask you next. It's just a good press break that you love. Cause I think teams are going to press the crap out of us. And I
would
just
run sideline. Sideline, and you'll know why I call it sideline, and it's perfect. And
you
will be able to get it in even against a 2-2-1 or a man-to-man or things like that. So that's the first thing. Doesn't matter. And you'll be able to get her the ball. Perfect. So you want the point guard throwing it in, which is a little bit unique. That's the first thing. And then you also want to, you want to be able to have more than one person set up the offense.
So
in practice you want her setting it up, but I refer to it as committee. You want to do it by committee.
So when
you're doing things in practice, you should you're gonna sell to them everyone's a point guard, even though she's your point guard.
Rather play her as a two, honestly. If I had other kids could do it, I'd rather have her be my two.
Right. And you'd rather have her get up the court and, you know, maybe out. Yeah. So I would throw I'd throw her and the kitchen sink at it.
Yeah.
And because you'll find one or two other ones that are competent. They won't be great.
Yeah.
But they'll be competent. Yeah. And the only way you're going to do that, do you have a scrimmage before your first game?
We don't, but we can do it obviously at practice, but against each other.
Okay. You don't have like a formal scrimmage. So,
No.
So what I would do is that, I would let them fail. I would let a lot of them fail to figure out who you need. you're going to have to throw them at it. And you're going to find that second or third one, you're going to have to take some lumps on it and try to, you know, mentor a couple of them into it.
Yep. No, I'm tracking with you. That's very helpful. And I'll look up. No, it's okay. I said, is sideline enough? I heard you talking to another coach one time. He was funny. He was dropping a lot of F-bombs. He was a character. But he kept saying he needed two press breaks. And you're like, you really don't need two. You need one. You were talking about by the first game. But do you think there's another press break that knowing what you know about
my
team?
Go to the press break course and you'll find all sorts. I mean, I think I did a whole – I spoke at a clinic on that. You'll find a bunch in there. I like Badger. I like Sideline. I like just the 1-4 one I have in there. There's like three or four.
Okay.
I personally stand by what I said before, and I would try to have one really good one be good at it. And then you can always have a second one in your pocket and or draw it up game day if it gets really bad and you're feeling like you need it.
That's perfect.
Let them score is the sell to the girls.
Yeah.
they can't press you if they don't score.
That's right. That's right. Amen, coach. Yeah. Well, and that brings me to my next point. What are your thoughts on Coach Blackburn was on from New York and he had that really unique 1-3-1. Is he contactable? Is there anything on T-Troops from him? I really like what he had to say, and I've played the 1-3-1 before, so it's just a defense I'm very comfortable coaching.
Send me an email. I was going to have him back on at some point, but if I don't,
I really liked him.
He was very good, very good.
He was. Yes,
I do have his stuff. So when we're done, just email me and I will get it to you. I'll send you his email address and stuff.
Great.
Yes, I will send that to you. That's a thank you, Coach, because that was a great reminder. I do so many podcasts, I forget. That's a great reminder.
Who's who,
I want to have him back on. He's one that I think I said, let's have you back on to talk about it.
He was awesome. I loved your, because I think you did two parts with him. And then another one that I've hit lately that I love, and I've actually re-listened to it now, is you and Coach Winters, man. What a great dude. I really like him. I like hearing you guys banter back and forth.
His book, he just wrote a book.
Check out his book. Yeah.
His book is really good. His book is really good.
I got to check it out. With him, he referenced Don Showalter's stuff on that diamond into a 2-2-1 if it goes weak side. He said he had some PDFs. Did you ever find that stuff? Because you were asking him.
No, I don't think I did. Okay. I don't think I did, but in the email, make me add that. Make me bullets on the email, and then I will reach out to him too. Because
I'll hit you up. I'll hit you up on those items. He's going to do
some other stuff for me because I've been promoting his book and stuff.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, and he's writing another book, I think. So
that's awesome. He's a great guy, a good dude. I like that you were on his round table and he's on your thing. I just love the people you have on. I love just listening to your short ones too. But I got to say, my favorite is when you're interviewing people and you guys just start bantering back and forth about different things. And I just learned so much listening to you.
And the thing is, I try to put on coaches that aren't like, not that I could have a lot of big boys on, like, but I sometimes think it's better to talk to coaches like us.
Oh man. You know what I mean? Well, you said it on one of those podcasts that you think, in fact, you said it to Winters. You said, I'm going on the record that there's more good high school coaches than there is college coaches. And I agree with you because we have to coach with what we're given.
Right.
We have to constantly change what we're doing. Coach, I'm thinking about putting in this 1-3-1. We talked before about my team not being very offensively talented, and I've run continuities in the past. I don't want to run continuities because then anyone's getting a shot. I mean,
before we go to the offense, you're good on I have another person that's like, I'll get you. Just say 1-3-1 to put Blackmore. Okay. And I have another coach that I think is like a hidden gem.
I'll reference the hidden gem on the 1-3-1.
Yep. I even have his cell phone number, I think. So I'll get you connected with him too. He's the guy that came into my gym for 1-3-1. So,
Very good. Well,
very good.
So this leads me That's perfect, Coach. Thank you. Yep. And this leads me right into why I'm bringing this up, because last time when we talked, I know you have 100 conversations. Thank you for being available. I know you probably don't remember this conversation, but you said, hey, you got to score easy baskets. You got to score off your defense. Okay. You got to score off your baseline out of bounds plays. And then you got to get the ball to your best kids in your sets and probably get away from the continuities, run some quick hitters, some of that type of stuff.
Yep.
So with regard to scoring off of defense, that's one of the reasons I'm thinking about the 1-3-1. I want to put my best player up top. But here's my million-dollar question. I hear you say again and again, if teams are better than you, you don't want to play fast. You don't want more possessions. But I'm trying to balance that out with I need easy baskets. So is it okay for me to play fast in a controlled way, I guess you could call it, because I'm doing it off turnovers? If I can get turnovers and run, is that okay? Or am I setting myself up for failure because we're not that good? You see what I'm saying?
I do. That's a really good question. And that's
I'm really trying to balance those items because I know that philosophy that you hold to is you want fewer possessions.
You do. And the math proves that.
Right. And you're the math guy. You're the stats guy. So, we have shot clock here in Washington too. So I have to play at a cert pace. I can't slow it down. I don't think it's
as big a deal for you. Because you are at a specific pace.
Right.
I just read something too, and this is true, and I'm diving into this with my coaches, that the most effective time on the offensive end is the first 7 seconds.
Okay.
From the time you get the ball, I haven't done the math crunch on this yet, but from the time you get the ball, 7 seconds in, because and your ability to grow and score more points per possession in that 7 or 8 seconds or 7 to 10 seconds is greater than, I don't know how long your shot clock is. What is 35?
Yeah.
The next 25
for girls.
Because, yep. Because your ability to improve on your half court offense is much smaller than your ability to score in that first 7 to 10 seconds. So you have the ball.
Yep.
So that first 7 to 10 seconds is really big. Work on that.
So with that said, transition is ultimately what you're saying, right?
And I would work on transition. I would work on both transitions. I would work on the transition.
The action. I am in a canyon. I'm staring at Mount Hood in the distance, and the Columbia River Gorge is what I'm driving by here. So definitely a canyon kind of off in South Central Washington. So I think I caught that though. 7 to 10 seconds is where your efficiencies lie, and then it drops off after that.
Yes. Yeah, so work on the, if you want to score, you want special spots. Work on your transition from offense to defense and defense to offense.
Let me ask you this. Is there stuff in T-Tubes, and maybe I've just missed it, do you have any special sections on transitions? Because I really
don't. I'm working on it right now. I'm working on it right now for my team. So I will.
Okay.
What's today? No, except today is almost fall yet. I will probably have that in the next month, probably the next month.
Okay.
I'm working on that because as soon as I find stuff like this, I do deep dives into it. I
love what you say about basketball is four parts. It's offense, defense, and transition. I spend so little time on transition and so much time on half court sets. I'm flipping the script on that.
Yep. And if you just do that, that's enough to score some easy baskets.
I'm going to really focus on it. Take away easy baskets from my opponents, get us more easy baskets, and just be stingy on the defensive side.
Yep. And I'm telling you, it's like I go back and I think about 30 years of coaching and I think of all the time I spent just on my half court offense and half court defense. And don't get me wrong, it's a big portion of the game.
Yeah.
But the ability to score or stop on that, I only have them for 4 months. If I had them all year, it'd be different. Yeah.
Yes. So, could not agree more. That's very, very helpful. Coach, let me ask you a really different question, change gears for a minute.
Okay.
You've mentioned before meditation, that you kind of got your guys into doing some meditation where they're quiet. You made it sound like that was something you did at the beginning of practice. My question is, are you still doing that? And if so, how often?
I do it every day.
Okay. How long?
A minute.
So they're just sitting quietly. Sitting and just breathing, focusing on their breath.
Yep. So initially I have one of my assistant coaches talk them through it and taking deep breaths and being one.
Yep.
Because literally these kids are connected all the time.
I agree 100%. I took them through a 5-minute guided meditation last season during COVID. We had, we only got 13 games, but I took them through in our classroom where we do film. And I asked them at the end, how do you guys feel? And their words were incredible.
Yep.
Rested, successful, ready to go, relaxed. Yep. There was all these positive emotions that they had because they're always on.
And the thing is, what I'm trying to do is like I said in that thing, I'm trying to shift them from school, girlfriends, boyfriends, on, high school. High school sucks in a lot of respects. Mean Girls is true. If you watch the movie,
it's real. Yes,
it's real. It's real. So I want them to shift from that to, hey, I'm with my friends. I'm having fun. Blah blah blah. It's just a shift them. I'm just trying to do that 1 minute meditation beginning. I think I learned that from Gene Durden. It was changing for everybody. Yes, highly recommend it.
Yep.
It's a minute.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Like nothing.
I'm going to do it. They're just going to get. That's great.
They yell at me when I don't do it.
They probably look forward to it, honestly, after they get into it.
They do.
That's great. Okay. Along those same lines, just another kind of off the wall question. Your idea about, you talk a lot about making everything competitive, and I want to do a better job at that. I do that, but I don't do it enough. And you were talking to someone, I don't even know which coach it was, but wasn't Winters, it wasn't Blackburn, but you were talking about, I don't shoot enough. I need to shoot more. And he was giving you a shooting drill. You said we have this 4-spot shooting drill that we do before games. We get a ton of shots up. So two-part question. Number one, do you have that drill anywhere in T-Tubes, or do you have a schematic of that?
Yeah, it's on YouTube. I think I put my
whole, on YouTube.
I put my whole basketball warm-up that I use for my team on YouTube.
So because, just Coach Collins warm-ups?
Yeah, go to T-Tubes and just type in warm-up, basketball warm-up, and it will be on there. I can send you the link, too. If you put it in the email, I'll send you the link. But because warm-ups drive me bonkers. I'm still not happy with the warm-up. I'm still not happy with it. And we're down to 15 minutes. So, yeah. Yes, I try to make it as game-like as possible. I don't even know if we'll do layups this year. Like, I'm so done with, like,
I need more shots. I don't shoot enough. We don't shoot enough. It just seems like we always run out of time. I want the kids to shoot on their own, but they don't.
No, it's shooting. It's shooting. And for warmups, it's shooting and practicing what we're going to do in the game. Literally, that's what I'm trying to do. I'm running my plays. I'm working on my 1-3-1. I'm doing everything. It's the, like my classroom. It's the warmup. It's the, remember what we did yesterday? Here's what we got to do. All right. Do you have any questions on this? Here's what we're not doing correctly. Blah, 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 blah. You know, warm-ups are like.
I like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like that. Work on the game stuff in warm-ups.
I don't care if they know my out-of-bounds plays. I'll work on my out-of-bounds plays. I will work on my quick hitters or my plays.
Sure.
I don't care. If your team is good enough for you to scout me and for you to scout me and let the kids know what we're going to do, you're better than me. Because my kids.
Good for you. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's pretty hard to do that at the high school level. Yep. Absolutely. Well, and so second part of the question, when you break into competitive drills and games, small-sided games in practice, million-dollar question for me, if it's a 4-on-4, a 3-on-3, or a 5-on-5, do I have my A team and my scout team going against each other, or do I balance the teams? And I know that's kind of a generalized question. There's probably right answers for both sides, but what are your thoughts on your best kids playing together versus your best kid getting guarded by your second best kid? See what I'm saying?
Yep. I want it competitive. So I tend to do even groups as much as humanly possible. Because then I'll keep them in, if we're doing 3-on-3 stuff, I'll keep them in that 3-on-3 group and change baskets and do different things depending, or 2-on-2.
Yeah.
5-on-5, it's similar. But I do have to obviously have the kids that are going to play a little bit more, get more reps.
Your best five have to be together
times, but then I give, like, we'll play to 7, and this is a simplified version of it, but we'll play to 7. Each bucket's a 1, and I'll give the non-starters 2 points. So it's 2-0. I want to make it as balanced and competitive as possible.
I like that.
So
I like that.
And then when we do tryouts, we time all our players during tryouts because I want to figure out how fast they are. Because when we do sprints and ladders, like I balance it out. So it's the same thing when I'm doing drills like that. Like, and I want the starters to complain to me. Like sometimes I'll make it
it's
4.
It's not fair, right?
It's not fair. Okay, I'll start them then.
Right.
Because you think you're better. You should. What are you talking about? So that shuts them up very quickly. Sometimes we'll play to 7. I'll give the non-starters 4-0. Like, go ahead.
Sure.
You know, and then the loser's going to have, they know losers have something.
Oh, yeah.
Very rarely is it much of anything. But it's enough that they don't want to lose. I mean, I'm not making them run. I mean, it's like.
Yeah, but it's the wall of shame.
Right.
One that I've put in lately is the funniest one. Of course, you can do this with girls, boys. You can borrow this one from me if you want, if you've never tried it. But I know you've coached girls too. Once in a great while, instead of burpees or push-ups or a little bit of running, I'll have the losing team drop down and give me 5 snow angels on the gym floor.
Oh, that's funny.
So kind of just something fun.
I do. Right? I do. Here's what I do for boys, and they hate this. I say, all right, the losers find the guy that was guarding you. Let's say we're doing 5-on-5. And then you got to do 3 burpees. And as you're doing those burpees, you have to say something nice about your teammate.
I love it.
And it can't be descriptive. You can't say, oh, they have nice hair. You have to say something nice about them. Like
about their character.
Yes, right. About their character. And the boys hate that. Oh my
God.
That's
not boys. My girls would actually relish that. But
yeah,
your boys,
so that would be
it.
Another way of doing it. But it's like, you got to say something nice,
I like it.
Or, you know,
I like it.
Something just, and they laugh and it's like, whatever. We'll sometimes do wheelbarrow. We'll do wheelbarrow races.
I heard you talking about that. Piggyback rides. I think I'm going to incorporate
piggyback
that.
Rides are harder depending on the size of the team, but yeah, it's.
Put my biggest girl on my little point guard.
I don't want my 6'7" kid on my 5'9" kid. You know?
right. Well, hey, I know we're close to our half an hour. Okay. I got several bullet points I'm going to email you. My last question might be another bullet point email. You and Coach Winters both talked about free throw ladders. And I'm wondering just the mechanics of how you keep track of that.
Yep. So I keep that in my binder because I have a 3-ring binder I keep my practice plans in.
Yeah.
I make 2 practice plans. I make one that I keep and then one that I fold in the back of my pants, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
That one literally looks like it goes through the wash by the end of practice because I'm, you know, I'm playing with it and I'm writing on it and doing stuff. So it's horrible by the end. So the way I do free throw ladder, again, during tryouts, I have them shoot 50 to 100 free throws and we track it. And then the kids that make the team, we start a ladder. So let's say there's 15 kids on the team. So the way it would work is you work up and down the ladder. So if we did it the first time, the top person would get a bye. 2 would go versus 3. 3 would go versus 4. 4 would go versus 3, downward. And then the next time, so 1 gets a bye and 1 would go against me or I would have them do something. Then the next time, so they would either move up or down. 2 plays 3. If 3 beats 2, then they take 2 spot and 2 goes down. So it's a ladder going up and down.
Got it. Okay.
And then the next round would be 1 versus 2. 3
versus
4.
The new 2 was 3.
Yes. So, right, and I keep that in my binder. And the object, I used to have an actual physical ladder I keep in the locker room, who is 1 versus 2. But anyway, I use that to whoever's at the top of the ladder gets to shoot the technicals and those kind of things. Yeah.
Yeah. I like that.
It's just a little competitive thing that I like to do. It works. And again, it's competitive.
I've never done
and they won't cheat because they're playing somebody. Yep. Because they'll all cheat all the time.
Yep.
Anything.
I love it. Right. Yeah, yeah, right. They won't cheat because and that another, was going to be my
so
question.
So here's another free throw ladder.
It,
we do a free throw ladder for conditioning too.
Which
so 1 to 7 and then from 7 down. So that this way I find out who they think can shoot free throws. So number 1 would go up and shoot 1 free throw. If he misses it, everyone goes down and back 1 time. The next person shoots 2, down and back is 2. All the way to number 7. If number 7 misses, they got to go down and back 7 times. So
and so number 7 would be their perceived best
shooter. I don't tell them who. I said you can only shoot at one spot. So
I like that.
Trust me, you're going to quickly find out who wants to shoot 7 or 8 or whatever you do if you have 50.
That one.
Yeah, and whoever doesn't. So again, I'm not choosing it. They're choosing it. And
that's great.
They tend to know. They know who can make. They know who the hoopers are. Like they know.
Oh yeah.
Because if you miss some early and there is a little strategy because if you miss 1, 2, and 3, then all of a sudden when 7 has to get there, they're tired. So they don't want to miss.
Right.
So there's a lot of it's a good conditioning drill. It's not really getting them in shape, but it's more mental and a free throw thing that works really well for them.
No, I like that a lot. I like that a lot. And I always like knowing what they think, right? What do they think? Who do they think is the best player?
Right. And then I'll do stuff like you got to make 5 in a row before you can leave the gym. And then, and then I'll do, if you have 6 baskets, I'm giving all my free throw things. You go 6 Love ways it. Around the, you know, they're great. You go there. If you have 6 baskets in your gym, do you have 6 baskets?
Yeah, we do.
Okay. So I line everybody up at 1 basket and if you make it, you go to the next basket. Okay. And then if you make it there, you go to the next basket. If you miss at any point, you go back to the first basket.
And you got to get to 6.
You
got to
make
finish.
6. Basically, I'm saying you got to make 6 in a row.
I like that.
Now,
and will you say, hey, we're not done with the drill until at least one person's done it or until we've all done it? Or,
we'll end practice with that. We'll do that at different times during the year.
I like that one. Yeah.
So again, you know, they'll get there's more pressure each time. And then
pressure. Yeah.
Yeah. And then the Wesley Matthews free throw one is the one that, they do in the NBA where you shoot free throws 1 through 10 and and I don't know if you've heard me say this one before, but 1 through 10.
I haven't heard this one. This is what Wesley does, like the
this is what
stuff.
The NBA guys do. So, and he's seen people get to the end of this and throw up because they're so stressed. They have rebounders too, but you shoot free throws 1 through 9. Okay, you keep track of it. But if you make 10, then you get to shoot 11. If you miss 10, then you go back to 1. They gotta make it to 100. So the only the only ones that matter are 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60.
Sure. 70. The so big pressure.
Imagine if you get to 90 and you miss and you got to go back to 1.
Oh,
imagine if
it.
You get to 100 and you miss the 100th free throw, you got to go back to 1. Now, what I do with my guys is I do it with 10 or 15 or 20, depending on how I want to do it. So, you know, if they miss, they shoot 1, 3, you know, so I'll do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. If you miss 5, you got to go back to 1. You know, I tweak the NBA one to make it more realistic for us.
I love that. I love that.
So again, what you're trying to do, free throw, I hate free throw drills. So I'm always trying to find things that are competitive and then put pressure on them. Because otherwise they're just up there and who cares?
Yeah, and it's not, there's nothing about it that's game-like when you're sitting there.
But if you get up there and you know you can go home if you make this free throw, but if you miss it, you got to go back to 1. Like, so I'll do sometimes I'll do 15 with our guys at the end of practice. So 1 through 4 don't really matter that much. But when they get to 5, if they miss it, they got to go back to 1.
That's great stuff.
The only thing I do is they got to shoot their normal free throw. If they're just throwing it up there, I say, you're back to 1. You're back. So I make them concentrate on
go through their routine, right?
Right. Right.
Yeah. So they get that repetition because you don't want to mess with that either.
You don't want to mess
with that. No, that's great. Coach, that's awesome. I appreciate you taking the call. I mean, listen, I'm still driving for another hour. I could keep you easily, but I know you have a life and a family.
So you have, I've been so swamped and I know Amy gets swamped trying to see, you have my email. So you just email me in like a couple weeks and we'll go on again. No problem.
I appreciate you. And I'll email you the bullet points of what we talked about so you can follow up. And coach, I don't know how you do it, but like I said, thank you so much. You're changing one coach out here in the Pacific Northwest the way I do things.
I'm telling you, it's like teaching. If I can help one coach, it's good for me. So I'm so glad.
Coach, you've made me so much better. My kids don't even know it yet because they haven't seen me since I've been on Teach Hoops. They're going to see a new Coach Tibbetts, man. I'm going to be a totally different guy. So I can't wait.
Awesome. You're all right. Man. Thanks, coach. Yep. See ya.
Okay, brother. Get rid of that. Get rid of that jump ball.
I'm trying. I don't think I'm going to win that one.
It's the stupidest thing of all time. I talk to everybody about it now.
It's true, though. It's so true.
They're terrible.
That's my hope is I'm spreading the word that people start. How bad the tosses are. I know. My utopian world is, I was talking to a coach this about the other day, my utopian world, if I could change one thing about the game of basketball, first of all, I'd make the high school court longer because I think it's too short, but I would make every court in the world wider because at least with boys, like high high school boys, college and NBA, it's too small. The bodies are too big. It's too big.
Yes.
Yeah. We got to make it wider. It's only 50. Is it 50? It's 50. It's 50. It's 50, I think.
50 feet wide, right? 94 feet long, 84. 50 feet wide.
So we got to go like 65.
Yeah. I agree, man. It is. And the bigger the kids are and the bigger the schools are, I mean, you get into college and NBA, it's ridiculous.
They should start moving that for the next 50, 100 years. Every new court made should be 94 by 60.
No, that's a good call. You always have good ideas about how to change the game.
Thanks. I don't think I'll see
you're
going to
survive the shot clock with COVID. I heard you talk about that the other day. I know it's a pet peeve of yours, like not having the shot clock. Of course, we have it here, so it's all I've known. But I got to tell you, like you said on your podcast, no one's rushing to put up shot clocks now.
No.
That is not happening. That project got sidelined for a while.
It's money. It's money.
That's going to help you a lot, you know, for how you like.
I don't
like
really
to play
care.
The game.
I literally sometimes it's just me poking the tiger. I don't really care. Yeah. But
But I think you're right. It does create. It keeps the game pure. Otherwise, it becomes just vanilla ice cream. Like, and you do see it at the collegiate level. Everyone runs this. Everyone does this. Everyone
right.
Little zone press here and slow you down. take seven or eight seconds off the clock and try to speed you along.
Set a ball screen. Set. Yep. Right. All that kind of stuff. I know.
It's all the same. I love the variety of our game. I agree with you. And I think a lack of a shot clock helps to preserve that. I agree.
I agree. All right. I got one vote. I got one vote.
Yeah. You got a disciple out here, coach. All right.
All right. See ya. Thanks, coach. For everything. Bye.
I'll email you. Thanks, okay. Coach. Okay.
Bye. Yeah, bye.
Thanks for the time. Bye-bye.
Hey, everybody. I hope you enjoyed the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and like. No matter where you listen, Apple, Spotify, we love those 5-star reviews. Make sure you also go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better.
Sports Social Podcast Network.